A new set this morning. We're still doing How to Understand the King James Bible. This is number 17. And I imagine it'll be 17, 18, 19 for a while. We're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. This is going to be a series. We're going to get right down to this is almost the pastoral suicide stuff. Not quite. I don't want to go through that again. But this is the commandments of Paul. You mean Paul has commandments? A commandment is when you tell somebody to do something. That's all it is. He's not talking about the Big Ten as such. He does reiterate, and we'll talk about that in a minute. He's not going back to the Leviticus law or anything like that. But he does have commandments. He does tell us what to do. He even uses the word commandment. He just uses the word commandment, so that's okay. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 4. And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. Now, we have come to understand the doctrine of Paul quite well. We can talk with people about it better. The Lord's Supper is still pretty touchy with people. That's a pretty hard thing to get people to realize. And we had a big battle over the weekend with somebody. I think the big issue about the Lord's Supper is if a person realizes the Lord's Supper, it isn't something that you can do or not do. It would be wrong to do it in a way, because what you're doing is just going to burn in the judgment seat, and you're teaching your children, other people, a wrong thing. It's not to be done. So in order for a person to realize that Lord's Supper is really a thing that shouldn't be going on, it'd be a false teaching, it's taught today, then they should pretty much leave that church. And nobody is into that. And I can understand that. It's your fellowship. It's your friends. It's where you spent most of your life. And the church has a purpose and all that sort of a thing. It's just that the purpose has been changed to a fun or a fleshy fashion. And people really have a hard time leaving. And again, I understand that. But I think that's why some people argue with what they argue with over Paul's doctrine, because they know what it means to do. If they really, really want to do right, and they realize they're not being fed right or taught right or guided right, or their children are being mistaught by the novice that's in the other room, learning to be a pastor at the expense of our teenagers, then it's hard for them to accept Paul. It's just like when somebody loses a spouse or something in their life, one of their children or an older person or whatever, and then they find out about the truth about salvation and Bible and things, and then they've got to come to the understanding or recollect somehow that their family member or friend or whatever possibly went to hell. They have to reconcile with that. That'd be tough. That's a tough thing. So quite often they don't want to deal with it because of that. And I can understand how hard that would be. So, I mean, if I have to get saved and I have to trust, then my... isn't. That's really hard if you really loved them. So it's tough stuff. But we're going to look at what Paul actually tells us to do. Just the old to do. To do. You can say that? To do. That's just what it is. Nothing complicated. Nothing deep. People can get into the doctrinal things and try to go deep if they want. They can try to privately interpret things. Well, that isn't quite what he means. Well, there's no doubt what this stuff is going to be. These are things that we should do. Now, look at also 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And before we are really concerned about other people, or even the street guys, worried about other people out in the street, the public as such, we need to make sure that we are what we ought to be, is the best as we can come up with in our flesh, like Paul fought it and everything. But still, 1 Thessalonians 1:9, and this is my missionary section here, verse 9 says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." So Paul's teachings entered into these lives of these people, and it says, what did they see? They saw that ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. So we can have a God, we can have a Savior, we can have a Bible, we can have a church, but what are we doing daily and in our homes and our evenings and our enjoyment time, our activities, what are we doing that actually still pleases God, the living God? That's the step that, again, gets... church is smaller, I guess, because who wants to hear that stuff? And you know the classic verse, Philippians 4:9. So look at Philippians 4:9. And we'll just do the introduction this morning in Sunday school. Then we'll get into the do's, some of them this morning and tonight, I suppose. Philippians 4:9 says here, those things which ye have both learned, which includes verse 8, but other things as well. Once we learn Paul and read all of Paul's writings and learn about him and everything, he says to us, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, that's Paul, because we're following Paul as he followed Christ, the risen Savior. Then he's got this huge word, do. And then he says, and the God of peace shall be with you. And I always want to comment that it doesn't say the peace of God, it says the God of peace. So we need to follow Paul's teachings and follow what Paul says. And in that, within all what Paul teaches and says, will be salvation. It isn't that we're doing Paul's things to earn our salvation like good works. No, it's just within Paul's teachings, we will find salvation. And I think what a lot of us have found by studying and learning Paul, that we realize that there is a pretty good chance that we had another Jesus. And Paul's teachings will fix that up. If people would just be willing to consider that thought. So, here we go. Look at Titus chapter 1. Let's first of all realize that the commandments Paul is teaching to us are not commandments from man. This is not something he devised or came up with because he's been to Paul school. By the way, we're already assuming the fact that we are King James Bible-believing people. This is the Word of God. This is the Scriptures. This is the Holy Scriptures. This is that which is perfect has come. And it even helps us rightly divide the Bible, but it also rightly divides Paul's teachings, because this thing came after some of the things Paul did in his early ministry. So we're going to get right into what we already know. And that's into his commandments now. Titus chapter 1, verse 14. Says right there, not giving heed to Jewish fables, and I'll say it again. I know we review stuff, Betty, but that's how we learn them. This Jewish fable thing, to me, really smacks of the Great Commission, because it's teachings to the Jews. And if it's taught today, it's not true. And if something's not true, I think that's what they would put a fable into there, so that would be a Jewish fable. So go ahead and tell somebody on the street, if you need to, well, you know, you're following the Great Commission, if they come up and say about the Great Commission. Well, I'm sorry, but I believe the Scriptures teach us that the Great Commission, if taught today, is just a Jewish fable. Then it says, and commandments of men. We're not going to listen to commandments of men. We're going to listen to commandments of Paul. And then he says that those Jewish fables and the commandments of men turn from the truth. They will turn people from the truth. This is what they'll do. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Here's Paul's statement about him now. Galatians chapter 1. I don't think I'll tell you the verse. I'll see if you know where I'm going to this thing about Paul and he wasn't taught by men. We have another man that when people ask him, where'd you go to school? He can't tell them the answer because he has no answer. Galatians chapter 1, verse what? Somebody pop up the number. 11. 11. But I certify you. See, he comes certified. Anyway, he may not be ordained as such. He's ordained from God, but he comes with a certification. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. And it's not, you know, really, if you think about it, his gospel is after man. He's after people. But what he's talking about here, it's not given to him by man. It's not after man. They didn't give it to me. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it. By man, of course, he's talking there. But by the revelation of Jesus Christ. Do you believe in revelation? Sure I do. What Jesus revealed to Paul is what we're going to try to follow. I don't understand why people still struggle, but they do. Now, you know, that same thing is supposed to be here with me. I'm not trying to teach you anything that I want to teach you as far as my personal teachings. I'm teaching you what God revealed to Paul and put in the King James Bible. That's why I try to have as more verses, if at all possible, than my words. I've heard of people that do one verse, two verses, three verses, four verses, and they talk for a couple hours. No, put the Word of God in there instead of your own. Much more important. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. As we turn to 1 Thessalonians 2:13, we're looking at these are commandments from God. 2:13. And you hear us go this verse a lot. For this cause also thank we God, without ceasing. Which, by the way, there's one of the things you should be thankful for.
Because when he received the word of God, which he heard of us, remember in those days it was spoken, what Paul was teaching, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which affects you, worketh also in you that believe. That's one of the verses people go to. If that Bible means nothing to you, maybe it's just a textbook or a school book, but it doesn't work in your life, in your conscience, in your day-to-day affairs, then maybe there isn't a salvation there because you don't believe. Acknowledge the truth. Anyway. So, if the Gospels and the Old Testament and the Great Commission teachings and Acts 1 through 8 and Hebrews to Jude are taught to people today, those would be teachings for men. Even though it's in the Bible, it's either happened or will take place. If it's taught today, it's for men. And God would have us teach Paul's teachings. So, we want to do those things that Paul has taught. Now, look at I won't give you the verse. Paul, I won't take the time today. Paul does teach about the Ten Commandments. He reiterates how many of them. He says them again. They're all taught. I mean, there's no law, right? Christ took care of the law. But he still, in his due form, tells us to obey the commandments. We shouldn't steal. That's still in Paul's teachings, all those things. Except one. Which one is that? And where do we find that? Okay, yeah, but where do we find it in Paul's writings? That's right. Not only does he not teach the Sabbath, he rebukes it. He debunks it. There's my word. He debunks it. Where does he debunk it at? And we're living in Seventh-day Adventist country out here. Okay. See if you can find where it's at. Okay, time's up. Colossians. Oh, yes. I know thou. Okay, what chapter? Oh, we're getting closer. There we got it. Bet the time was up. How much did you wager, LD?
How much
did that? Oh, you cheated. You're out. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, verse 16, or in drink, or in respect of an holy day. There's your holidays. Like, why wouldn't it be Sabbath? Because he specifically says Sabbath in the rest of the verse. Or of the new moon, that takes care of that crowd, or of the Sabbath days. So, that's not an issue. And then we know in Acts chapter 17, God is not in the building anyway. And he's taking care of the law anyway. And God is in us. Christ is in us. The Spirit of God is in us. They're just whatever. He doesn't talk about the Sabbath. Still doesn't hurt to have a kind of a lazy day, does it? And it'd be nice if the stores weren't open on Sunday. Everybody stayed home and rested. But that's not a command anyway in the spiritual realm. Why do you guys work on Sunday? Aren't you glad God doesn't take care of you because you're working on Sunday? And the farming, you get behind every week if you didn't do something on Sunday. And if the forest fire's going out and it's just about to burn this multi-million-dollar home, whoop, stop, we will be back Monday. The last thing you want is a bunch of Seventh-day Adventist firefighters coming to your house. 911, our house is on fire. Oh, I'm sorry, we can't come today. Fire department's closed. Call us tomorrow. They got their ways of justifying. Well, we could do that. I don't remember them. Kid got killed for picking up sticks, if I remember right. Somewhere in the Old Testament. Okay, let's keep going here. Romans 16. So we're looking this morning in Sunday school. Introduction to Paul's commandments. Romans 16, verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Two things in that verse. One is, what is he talking about? But now is made manifest. What is made manifest according to the commandment of the everlasting God? Hey, let's go back up to verse 25. This is what the commandment of God establishes here. Makes manifest. Manifest means brings it out, lets it be seen. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, that's Paul, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which is kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest. Okay, so what was made manifest? What was the secret beforehand? What's that? The mystery of the Paul, that Christ reveals to Paul about the Christians be, or the Gentiles being reconciled and made partakers and joint heirs with the Jews. Oh, by the way, the other day Jason said that he was on the street and he preached about being an alien from the Commonwealth of Israel and told people about Ephesians 2 and how God reconciled the Jews and Gentiles together to him. And he said the looks on people's faces, what are you talking about? We're a stranger to the Commonwealth of Israel. What is this? But that's true. That's a true thing that's supposed to be stated today. I said, Jason, don't worry about reaction. This is what you're saying. Now God can respond if people are... Where God can work there then, because it's what needs to be told today. That's pretty good. So this is what this is all about, and it's according to the commandment of the everlasting God. And I'll say it again in verse 25. Why is that so important? We see my gospel, that's Paul. But this little next phrase, can you tell me what's so important about that? And the preaching of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't that just be the gospels? What's that? Right, why? Right, okay, Christ is one clue. It doesn't just say Jesus, but Christ. You see a lot of Jesus signs in the public ministry. We're working in the public ministry, so I'll talk about that a little bit. A lot of Jesus signs, and Jesus was his earthly name, and Paul very seldom ever said it. He always had Christ risen. But there's a bigger clue in there that I keep trying to get across to everybody. It's preaching of Jesus Christ, what? According to the revelation of the mystery. Now, where do you get this made manifest at? Through who? Paul. So there's another verse that tells us this is what we're supposed to be teaching Jesus Christ. It's the risen one, and it's the one that Paul talks about. My gospel, what Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That's all Paul's writings. So anyway, there you go. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is all introduction to the commandments from Paul. 1 Corinthians 14. Just a little, measly little introduction this morning. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. There's some things that go on before this. This is the speaking in tongues chapter back in Paul's day. Why don't we speak in tongues? Because that which is perfect has come. Plus, it was for the Jews as a sign. It's just there they are. But anyway. As he says here, though, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, so if you think you're a good Christian, you want to be somebody special or whatever, as far as God's concerned, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. So, to be the Christian we need to be willing to recognize that what Paul teaches are the commandments of the Lord. The risen Savior did meet with Paul, Ephesians 3, Galatians 1, 2 Corinthians 12. He talks about it in Acts 9, Acts 22, and Acts 27, Acts 26. So we believe that. Does that belief in itself make you spiritual? No, what he's saying is this. So if you think you're such a Christian, why do you reject Paul's teachings? Because you're not supposed to. Okay. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Anybody that comes up to you, whether they think they're a prophet or a missionary or whatever they are, and they want to do what they're saying, well, how can you reject the commandments of the Lord through Paul? And Paul will be quick to say that there's no more prophets, so get over that one real quick. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now, what's the significance of this verse to the church, the history of our church? The history of my, since I've been here, church. The history since I started teaching Paul, church. What's that? And what's the significance of that? What's that? I'm deaf. That is the what verse? That is the first verse that started us on this Paul thing. Have I said this before? Thank you, Austin. You can go home early. Get there, take a break. Oh, no, wait a minute. They're supposed to stay here. You can come early next week. There we go. This is the verse that when I read a number of years ago, furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us, how ye ought to walk and to please God. I have been taught through all these years that, you know, what we do in the flesh, we're just in the flesh. We can't do anything to please God. He's made us saved. He's put us on the salvation list. But come on, how you dress, where you go, what your house looks like, what you do for activities, that's just nothing. It's either going to burn or it's going to make us to the judgment seat. So you can't do anything to please. I've heard that for so many years. Maybe I misheard it, whatever it is. But when I read that thing one day, I felt this spiritual smack behind the head. You ever get that, Jimmy? And it says, I can learn how to walk and to please God. I need to learn it from Paul and his little crew there. So ye would abound more and more. And then this next verse, for ye know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Oh, do we? I spent most of my time either ignoring or rejecting or rebelling against or being frustrated against the commandments that Jesus gave to the Jews. That's what I spent my time fighting. I got fighting what Jesus taught to Peter. And Peter went and preached that to the tribulation crowd. He will be preaching that to the tribulation crowd someday. And those aren't the commandments that was given to Paul to preach to me. So this is what we're going to look to here. Then we see a real tough verse in 1 Timothy 6:14. And we're talking about verses that are tough. 1 Timothy 6:14. So we do know. Do we know? Well, we're going to study what those commandments are that the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus, which again is the risen Savior, gave to Paul to teach us. Because we know, right? Remember the sermon I did, the teachings we did a while ago on things that we should know? Because Paul says, well, you know that, da-da-da-da. Well, no, I don't know that. So we learned some of those things. Then the second level was, he said, well, of course you know that. And then, you know, when somebody says that to us, well, of course you know you don't put the chicken in the bag, in the paper bag when you put it. What did Gary do or somebody did? Nobody did that. Put your turkey, I think Gary did it, put a turkey in a paper bag or something and burnt the thing up because the paper bag caught on fire and all that kind of stuff. Well, of course you know you don't put that turkey in a paper bag. Oh, yeah, I don't, of course. You ever said that to your kids? Well, of course you know you don't turn that thing two cranks more past that. Of course you know that. And the boys go, yeah, we know that. Well, then how come it was two cranks past where it was supposed to go? Olivia did it. So, for we know what the commandments are. He says in 1 Timothy 6:14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, what commandment is that one? Well, it must be something above it. Verse 12, because 13 is just an extension from it. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Profess a good profession before many witnesses. That professing a good profession before many witnesses will take place if we fight the good fight of faith and we've got that salvation. And it's secure. It's not that we can lose it, but we're confident with it. We have no fear of losing our salvation. Zero, zilch. If you've got it, you've got to make sure you have it. Now, I looked at that fight, the good fight of faith, and any idea what I probably thought of right there? The fight, the good fight of faith. You know, we're all struggling to keep the faith, baby, that kind of stuff, because we can get kind of depressed and kind of want to quit, so we wear different clothes because we're tired of it, or we talk differently now because we're getting kind of tired of this stuff. We do things we shouldn't be doing, but I'm tired of this kind of stuff. So we lose faith a little bit. I mean, the economy's so bad. I got to put my wife to work. I've got to put my kids to work. The baby, he can't work, yeah, but maybe he can model diapers or something. We have to make some money here. And we just kind of lose the faith in what we know is to be true, but, you know, I know Paul is our guy to follow, but, you know, we lose our faith, all that kind of stuff. Is that the fight? I don't believe that's the fight we should fight for. That's just because we're not fighting the good fight of faith. And the fight of faith, clue there, of faith. Step in, what?
Of faith.
I already said that. Of You can't repeat me, Jimmy, and get an A for the day. I mean, you got to add what I said. Faith of. I heard it somewhere. Boy, how many? LD, does this happen all the time? I'm not hearing stuff. Faith of Christ. The faith of Christ. Now, where are those verses at? I don't know. Well, let's find them. Look at Romans chapter 3. The fight is for his faith. People need to realize that their faith gives them the faith of Jesus Christ. And that's what people need. When my mom died, my brother said, well, Mom had more faith than anybody. Well, she has strong faith. I know Mom had a strong faith, but does she have his faith? And you hear people say, Mother Teresa had a strong faith. Right, but according to what she taught, she did not have the faith of Jesus Christ. And you just go on and on and on. Romans chapter 3, 22. Here we go. This is worth underlining or noting. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. It doesn't say by faith in Jesus Christ. It says by faith of Jesus Christ. Unto all and upon who, all that them that believe. So we receive the faith of Jesus Christ. That's what the fight's over. Not another Jesus, but Jesus Christ himself. What did you receive? You received his righteousness that he imputes to you, and you receive his faith. What does that mean? I don't know. It just says we receive his faith. What kind of faith does he have? Well, he's kind of the originator of the faith, if I remember right in Hebrews, so I want his faith. Look at Galatians 2:16. This is a good one. Not that the others aren't good. I guess I shouldn't say that. They're all good, I guess. Galatians 2:16. Yep, this one makes me talk louder when I read this one. Am I really loud? If I'm not hearing very well, does that mean I'm talking really loud? Am I talking really loud? Okay. So Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man, so here we go, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. That is so good right there. And not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So we believe in Jesus Christ, we're justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. Isn't that good? That's good. Okay, Galatians 2:20. Go down to verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, meaning we're in the body here, I live by the faith of the Son of God. We need to maintain our faith. Our faith comes and goes and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. But it's his faith that keeps us going. Who loved me and gave himself for me. Look at chapter 3, verse 22. But the scripture hath concluded, all under sin. That's true. We can go with that. That's okay. All under sin. That the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So you believe, you receive the faith of Jesus Christ. Ephesians, look at Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. You get emails, you get all these fancy schmancy modern emails about Jesus and angels and tons of stuff. And you ever get that stuff in email? They send all these, everybody cares, they love you and all this stuff. And they send you all these things about having faith in Jesus and all this. I don't remember ever getting anything about the faith of Jesus Christ. They don't send that kind of stuff out. I wish they wouldn't send any of that stuff out, actually. But flip Ephesians chapter 3, verse 12. In whom, we know that would be Christ, we have boldness and access with confidence by our faith in him. It's not what it says. We have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. He's where we get our boldness and our confidence, coming from the scriptures, of course. And then lastly, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred. Okay, now, what's the truth? What is this? What is this following? Well, it's following verse 17. What is 17 following? 16. What is 16 following? 15. What is this little section right here? Rightly dividing. If they don't rightly divide, then what they say is profane and vain babblings. Now, here's a chance for a one-minute sermon. If you've got somebody preaching and teaching to you, and you like the guy, he's a very nice man, cares for his people, do anything he can for his people in the church, and he's a very strong, sacrificing guy, but if he's not preaching rightly dividing, the way Paul would have it preached, then what he has to say is profane and vain what? Babbling. That's what it says. Either you rightly divide or you babble. Now, some of us can rightly divide and mumble, but we don't babble. And if that happens, look at the result. We get two results. One is increase in ungodliness. Now, that we know that that doesn't mean your hair is going to get a little longer, guys. And it doesn't mean, ladies, your hair is going to get a little shorter. It doesn't mean that your dress is going to get a little shorter? Longer. Shorter. When it comes up, it's shorter. And you're not going to wear tighter. You're not going to go places you shouldn't go. I mean, that's not the point. Ungodliness is a false teaching of Christianity. Because we know what godliness means in Timothy. It doesn't mean all that other petty stuff. That other stuff is important, but that's not what they're talking about. So, there's one problem. And what's happened to America? America has a Christianity. America has a Christianity that has another Jesus. Hundreds of different Bibles, if they have Bibles at all. And the power of the modern Christianity is becoming music. And it's a false gospel. And it's because they're not rightly dividing. What's happening to our King James Bible preaching churches? They're falling into the trend of gain. Why is that? They're rightly dividing wrongly. If you rightly divide wrongly, what are you doing? You're preaching profane and vain babblings yet. You don't divide your book up by verses because then you have to go to school and depending upon the school you go to, they tell you how that verse gets rightly divided. No, we're supposed to follow Paul. What does Paul say? I, Paul, one of his books, he starts off with Paul. So we rightly divide by books. So if they're not rightly dividing by books, what are they doing? They're preaching vain and profane babblings. Nice people, been to school, got more smarts than you, got more money than you, got happier looking kids or else they beat them so they later on, you know, kind of a thing. And their families are a wreck and it's just terrible what's going on out there. But hey, they're very impressive to people. But they're wrongly dividing. And they're doing vain and profane babblings. Now, the other thing is in 2 Timothy 2:18, what happens? Their faith becomes overthrown. It isn't just as saying that the resurrection is past the rate. That's one of the things they're saying. Well, he's already come and gone. It's all over with. Do you know that there are people out there that think that we're in the tribulation right now? It gets even worse. There's people that think we're in the millennium. And the devil's already locked up. He's already taken care of. There's a lot of people that believe that. It's called preterist or something like that. So, man, rightly divide your Bible and you'll realize that that's all yet to come. Okay, so there's the problem. It increases into ungodliness and it overthrows the faith of some. I do believe that some of the issues we're having with children now that they've grown up is because we taught them the Great Commission. If we taught them anything and after a while they saw the folly of it and their faith has been overthrown. Well, we hope that they see the truth of the rightly dividing someday. That's just what us parents think. Isn't that what we think, grandparents? What else can we do? Let's take a break.